I want you to go to Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, and I want to talk to you about overcoming in the storms of life. And I want to talk to you from this snapshot of history that literally happened on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. And it's just an amazing story. And I'm going to show you the essence of what happened. And we're going to look at some procedural steps. The bottom line is that we can overcome storms by exercising the authority of God's word. And this is really essentially what I want to boil it down to. And Jesus is in the midst of some tremendous teaching, and I'll show you, we'll take a look at what he taught right before the storm, but right now we're going to look at the moment itself. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." That statement comes and goes throughout history. He told Moses to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And after 430 years of bondage, the people of Israel were able to leave the bondage of Egypt and go toward where their ultimate place was to be. And then they got a little waylaid in the wilderness because storms do kick up. And Joshua came along, who was the protege and servant of Moses. God put his hand on him and used him. And he said to the people, "Let us go to the other side." He said, "Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days we're going to take a journey and we're going to get to the other side." And I love the idea of breakthrough. I love the idea of breaking out of one zone and up into another. I love the idea of progress, don't you? I love the idea of achievement. I think we are hardwired as human beings, made in God's image, to be fruitful, to multiply, to increase, to improve. And, you know, it's the message here, however, is not, boy, golly, gosh, I'm going to try to get better. No, it's tapping into this amazing authority and power of God and his promises, how amazing he is, and standing on his promises and implementing them by faith, by proclaiming and speaking God's word in bold declaration and serious committed prayer that will cut through all the hindrances, all the fierce gale force winds that try to hinder us, all the sloshing storms that try to fill up our boat. By the grace of God, he'll see us through. And I am honored to do life with people like you, and I'm excited to be able to bring the import of this scripture here to you. He said, "Let us go to the other side." And this is really what I'm voicing today. I'm preaching designed to help create a battering ram in your spiritual conviction and resolve to help you to press through the hindrances that are currently blocking you. I've got a lot of testimonies about water issues. When I was a little kid, I was body surfing in San Diego at Pacific Beach, and my mom would just let me go out there. I had a lot of liberty, and I took it. And I was out there like a little bitty stick man with baggy pants and a butch haircut, and I was in this water, and the wave came up, and it was a shore break, and the water just, I had no business riding these waves. And I got up on a big wave, and I looked down, and it was all sand and barnacles and shells. And I thought, this is not good. And then the water shot me out of the wave, and I was out in the midair, and I fell about 10 or 12 feet, landed on what felt like wet concrete, bam! And then before I could get up, all this massive tonnage of water pounded down on me, swirled around like a washing machine, zero visibility. Finally, I had no air, no breath. I came to, and I thought, okay, swim. So I swam, and as I was swimming, I had been flipped upside down, and I hit the bottom. It's a bad feeling when you think you're going to break out and get some air, and you hit your head on the sand. So then I turned around and I tried to push off, but my body just instinctively began to take in whatever was there because I just couldn't wait any longer. And I took in a whole bunch of salt water. That's a bad feeling. And I shot out of the water, coughing and hacking. And then it was during the era of the beginning of bikinis, so I think the guy, the lifeguard, was distracted and was looking the other way, people. And so I, with my little stick man body, swam up to shore, and I remember shooting out of the water, gasping, coughing, and I was laying there on the beach. The lifeguard is looking at some chick, listening to the Beach Boys, and I'm laying there, little stick man, with almost little X eyes and a tongue hanging out and little bitty hair and big old baggy pants and bony, I repeat, bony, skinny legs. And God brought me through. Here I am today. God bless you. You're dismissed. Okay, so then we get in the building of 1993. We have church. It's exciting. The carpet's nice. The chairs are nice. And we've varnished the walls, the doorways, and we've painted the walls, and we've got a PA system, and it's all jazzed and exciting. We have a baptismal. Church is alive. Church is growing, and it floods. And mud and trees and silt. There was so much silt in here, it took truckloads to take it out. Depressing. But God brought us through. God brought us through. Diving out there in the ocean, the Pacific Ocean. Again, I'm in the Pacific Ocean. And I get caught in a current, and God miraculously pulls me out. You can read about this in the life of Paul and his shipwreck on Malta. You can read about Jonah and his situation in sea. You could read about the people at the Sea of Galilee. And you could carry the literal aspects of it into the application of just the imagery of being feeling swamped, feeling overwhelmed, feeling like there's so much headwind and so much resistance. Why is there so much resistance? Why is this world the way it is? Well, why? Why? Well, because we know from the scriptures that man is fallen and that the authority was usurped by Satan and man forfeited that authority. But Jesus came to restore kingdom authority and delegate it to whomever will call upon his name. And these are the disciples in the boat with Jesus. And we are the disciples in the boat with Jesus. And this was 2,000 years ago, and this is 2,000 years from then. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my testimonies are not your testimonies, they're mine. Yours may even be more fantastic, and in fact, I'm sure they are because they're yours, and because they inform you of how good God has been to you, how faithful he's been to you, how wise he's been to you, and how he's been present to help. Oh yeah, he's ever-present help in the time of need. Shortly after the flood, news spread abroad in some of the Christian circles, and church was growing, and somebody asked me to be on a Christian TV show, and I was interviewed by a couple. And while they were asking me about the flood, I was giving them technical details about how God helped our church to overcome being victims and to go out and to start to bring relief. And God turned our hearts away from our own hurts and problems and to the needs of others. And then in so doing, he activated us and you guys responded in such a competent and kind way and it made a difference. But in the midst, he interrupted me by saying, "Were you mad at God?" And you know, in an interview, have you ever watched an interview on a program and it gets silent? Yeah. It's awkward. Yeah. And you could hear crickets chirp. It was awkward. You could cut it with a knife. I went, "No." It just blindsided me. Because God has never been my problem in any of these situations. God has not ever been the one to blame in any of these situations. Well, yes, but see, people wax real theological in some. Yes, but he's in control. And then he is God, and he is the king of the universe, and I honor his deity, and I glorify and honor his sovereignty. But let me just tell you, you can't just make overreaching blanket statements and come up with some sort of idea with this, because then it starts attributing, "Well, thank God for the flood, and it taught me something," or "thank God," you know. Well, but what about Joseph? He said God intended it for good. God works things together for good. And I think it's beyond semantics. I think we need to understand that God causes all things to work together for good. I don't believe he causes everything, but I believe he causes everything to work together for good. Because some things certainly are from the devil. Like Paul the Apostle wanted to go to Thessalonica, and he said, "Satan hindered me." God wanted him to go to Thessalonica, and he was hindered by the devil. Then we're to resist the devil so that he might flee from us. He said, leaving the crowd, look, the disciples immediately obeyed him. He said, "Let's go to the other side." Disciples obey. That's what a disciple is, an obedient person. It's good. You're in the midst of obedience. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind. Sound familiar? And the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke up and said to him, "Teacher, do Do you not care that we are perishing? Everybody say, insult. Because Jesus is the good shepherd who came to lay down his life for the sheep. His motive was to seek and save that which is lost. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus came to set captives free. How insulting. Now, why is Jesus asleep? Is it indifference? No, it's peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He knows, he has inside information about how good the Heavenly Father is. And he's putting us in touch with that, but the disciples are naive and they're inexperienced in this. They haven't developed this. They haven't matured in this. In fact, he got up, rebuked the wind and the sea, and I love this famous statement, hush or peace be still. Everybody say, peace be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. He said to them, why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith? Now that's, you know, that's a pretty stern rebuke, but really it's hopeful. Because later in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I know that my faith and your faith and our faith can develop and increase and improve. Our perceptions and perspective about our God can improve. That's why when the interviewers ask me, are you mad at God? I at least had developed to the point of understanding God is my Father. He's the one that cares for me. He's a good shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He'll lead me beside quiet waters, and he'll deliver me from the turbulent waters. Whatever storm you're in, however swamped your boat feels right now, however relentless the fierce gale and how fierce the gale is, I know, correspondent to those attacks and battles, my God can see you through and will see you through and wants you and me to learn and develop and implement our authority and our faith in Christ. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Tony Caminetti from Brisbane, Australia, shared an important message on Friday night. Is it really necessary to speak God's word? And he asked the question and then laid out and articulated, I feel, in very good form, sound theology and good practicality, that yes, we must speak to our mountains. It's not sufficient to just hope it in our heads. It's not sufficient just to have a problem and sit there with our arms crossed, overwhelmed and wondering what to do. God, in fact, has given us his word. Jesus, if you see this, said, let us go to the other side. There's something formidable and powerful about bold proclamation of faith over the storms of your life. Yesterday when I preached, I proclaimed in that park that there would be results. And I'm a proclaimer of good news. And I'm not going to be overwhelmed by how beautifully sophisticated they articulate the bad news in my world. I'm not an idealist. That all got knocked out of me as a youth. I'm not an overboard optimist. I've had enough challenges to recognize that you got to have substance to your hopes and you got to have anchoring. And I found them in this book, the holy book, the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. God created us in the beginning in his image and in his likeness. He said, let there be light. And then he gave us authority. We forfeited our authority and Satan usurped it. And Jesus bought it back. And he is there in the boat with the disciples, and he's here in the boat with the disciples, and he's looking at us and he's saying, why are you afraid? I've not given you a spirit of fear, but I've given you a spirit of power and love and a sound, well-balanced mind. You say, Pastor Jeff, I feel like I'm on the brink. Listen, before my mother-in-law died, I battled such a season of anxiety. There were just enough fierce gale winds to hit me. And just enough, I mean, if I told you to blow your mind, but then we'd take turns. Well, wait a minute, I'm going to tell you mine now. And we'd have like the dueling battle of out-testimonying each other of how bad things are. And that's not what we're doing right now. Right now, we're taking a hold of how we get out of that mess, how we conquer that delusional, oppressive thinking, how we get out of the anxiety that makes our mouths dry and makes our eyes bug out, makes us where we can't sleep, and makes it where our creativity part of our mind start concluding the 50,000 negative things and dread takes over. At some point, that must be resisted. At some point, that must be addressed and cast down in the name of Jesus. And I am not an advocate of denial. I'm not an advocate of burying your head in the sand. I am an advocate of burying your head in the book and denying Satan the right to dominate your life. Devil, you get off of my kids. Devil, you get out of our city. Devil, you get off of our families. Devil, you get off of this man's body in this hospital room. Devil, you get your hands off this marriage. Remember Paul the Apostle shaking. He had that storm, and if that weren't enough, he had a storm, shipwreck, ocean crashing. He goes up on the island, and he's building a fire just to try to, he's just trying to recover and get warm, and a serpent bites his hand right in the middle of his service. And he shook it into the fire, grilled it, put hot sauce on it. It tasted like what? Tasted like chicken. We know this. And then he found people that had need, and God had him take the perforated, attacked part of his life and overlay it into the situations of others, and God used it to impart healing into that situation. Come on, man, that is good stuff. And you're in the boat with Jesus who said, let us go to the other side. You're in a church with Jesus who said that I'm coming back to a glorious church without spot or blemish. And when I return, I'm going to find faith on the earth. And I'm the Lord of the harvest. And the nations are a drop in the bucket. And you are going to see it. He called on me and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. That's why I bring in a pastor from Australia. And Australia hasn't had revival yet, but they're starting to. I'm bringing in the evangelist who's been working in Africa for a half a century, who led more people to Christ from 60 years old to 70 than he did in all of his years as a younger man. I'm bringing in next week a man who's come from Manila, who's established dozens and dozens of churches, who has fought the fight for his wife and his kids and his own personal life and sanity. And he's coming in with a fresh voice. And he's coming in with something from the front lines. Come on, I want you guys to win in the battles of life. I want you guys to get over to the other side. And that's good that your pastor wants you to, but I'm telling you, the good shepherd wants you to. The good shepherd wants you to. Oh, isn't that nice? Danny and Pam, they just always look sweet. I always see them all sweetie pie looking at each other. Ask them sometimes some of the things that they had to go through to get to here. Ask some people. You think, oh, they're sweet, and they were on the staff, or they're serving, and they're, listen, man, they're fighting the fight while they're helping others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus rebukes the wind and the sea, and he says, they became very afraid and said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? They came to the other side. They came to the other side. He said, verse 35, let us go over to the other side. Chapter 5, verse 1, they came to the other side. Christopher Reeve said, a hero is an individual, an ordinary individual, who finds the strength to persevere and endure in spite of overwhelming obstacles. He was an interesting man, very unusually handsome, fit, so much so they cast him as Superman. He was known as a leading man, hunky, love interest romance type of guy, real masculine. In fact, he got hurt riding a expensive thoroughbred horse and tragically broke his neck and became paralyzed. Instead of stewing in self-pity the end of his life, he took what he had and regarded it as precious and continued on and provided an example that a hero is an ordinary individual who finds the strength to persevere and endure in spite of overwhelming obstacles. What is that? Where do you find the strength to persevere and to endure? Jesus is our strength. His promises are strengtheners. His principles are empowering. And when you see Jesus say, let us go to the other side, and he sleeps in the storm, then that's informative. That tells us we've got to learn to look at the situation we're in and lift up our eyes and say, the God that got me saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and on track is the God that is going to get me through even this ridiculous garbage. And it has to be told and retold. I have to tell you, I break it to you, your whole life on earth. Because you're designed to be more than a conqueror. And I looked at the notes Kingston, my son, took at Friday night service. And he wrote down that what I said was, your earthly life is designed to manifest Satan's defeat. Your earthly life is designed to manifest Satan's defeat. He's under our feet. Now, we're not just rebukers of devils. We're worshipers of God. But God, to be sure, has called us to fight the good fight of faith. And when Jesus said, how are you afraid? Why do you have so little faith? Then we learn, okay, God, you've not given me a spirit of fear. I'm still the guy sitting in the interview saying, I'm not mad at God. I'm not blaming God. God is my promise-keeping God. He's my Father. But God, if I tried and I put him and I brought him, I mean, you want to get technical? I could roll. Come on, I could roll with you. Come on. We could have dueling testimonies. Yeah, I brought my kid to church, and another one lined up with him and tainted the journey. I could get bitter. I could get resentful with you. We could roll with it. Well, if God really and he's really good, then we got in this building, and he knew that it was going to flood. How did he even let it? Don't go there. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, you're oversimplification. No, I'm bearing it down into the essentials because I want to thrive. I don't want to just survive. I don't want to just see you kind of go through life. I want to see you be more than conquerors. I want to see you get to the other side of your situation, of your financial situation, your marital situation. Like these kids, we're praying. Well, isn't that precious? They're dedicating babies to the Lord. No, we're believing God for people to rise up with strength and take their place. And I actually know how to pray. She'll be delivered from the phonies, even in the church world, that come along and go, that are like Trojan horse, that are hiding out and privily, that are coming out like a devil. Hey, listen, parents, be wise with your kids. Well, I don't want to be controlling. They should pick whoever they want to hang out with. Uh-uh. You are smart, and you have been around longer. I don't want to be a controlling parent. Well, you don't want to be their buddy either. And if God's telling you there's something not right there, then don't let them go. Well, they'll be mad at me. They'll be happy you drew the lines. Wish I had in a certain case. But God worked it out. God worked it out. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor Jeff, you're really disclosing. I'm an ordinary guy serving an extraordinary God. I'm not up here pretentiously telling you how to do the magic mojo. I'm telling you, God is powerful. And when he says get to the other side, you can get to the other side. You say, oh, Pastor Jeff, are you resentful? I have been resentful. I got hurt. And when you get hurt, it can stew and it can mess you and hijack your journey. Everybody in here understands that. And yeah, I've had to cast it down. So I'm preaching now so I could use it as an example. And it's taken me a few years to be able to look back and say, hey, when the Holy Spirit gives you a check, follow that. Follow that. Follow that. And realize that when God gives you a promise, lay hold of it and implement it. Don't let it sit there idly. Dust it off today. Take a stand. And here's my point. We can overcome storms by exercising the authority of God's spoken word. And we're here to tell you that God will turn things around in your deal. He did in your hospital room. He has in your thought life. He has with your kids. Come on. Don't make me come down there. I'm getting all reared up now. I think I'm going to preach again in a little while. Let's all stand to our feet. And as we stand, we're taking our stand. When I was Trey and I used to go to Mission Bay with my dad, and he had a Chris Craft inboard, outboard, really beautiful boat. It was wooden, and we used to have to sand it every year and re-varnish it. And one day we were out there with some guests, and I was eating a hamburger and with one of those Wonder Bread buns. The boat sprang a leak, and I said, Dad, the boat sprang a leak. And then he was like, what? And water was coming into the boat, little hole in the back right by my feet. And I was eating this hamburger, and the thought occurred to me about the little Dutch boy in Holland. When the dike broke, he put his finger in the dike, and he saved the whole city. And so I took a piece off of my Wonder Bread bun, and I balled it up and I shoved it into that hole and it stopped the leak. I told my dad, I said, Dad, I was about six, seven years old. I said, Dad, I stopped the leak with my Wonder Bread. He said, you saved the day, son. And I, to this day, I'm pretty sure I saved the family and the guests from drowning. To this day, I feel like the hero. I'm not kidding. I still do. You can't talk me out of it. I mean, remember I was a stick man with baggy pants and a short haircut. I grew 5 inches that day. Jesus is the living bread, better than Wonder Bread. And he, a little bit of his situation, can stop the flood, stop the storm, stop this oppression. At least, let's take care of it in our thought life today. You that have been depressed, I pray healing and joy, buoyancy back into your heart and your mind, your systems. There are other contributing factors to that. I pray healing or hormones or whatever, the protracted battles at work or your finance thing. I pray breakthrough. There are answers for all of it. Anxiety people, I pray healing. I pray that the RPMs dial back to better. Jesus' name. Say, how dare you even imply you could pray that? The Bible says anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Not fabulous preaching, but the word of God. And that's what I commend to you. That your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. He is still saying, peace be still. He said, peace be still to my heart when I failed as a dad. Let my son go where he shouldn't go with people he shouldn't be with. And I had to deal with the consequences. Can we talk freely here? Amen. It might be totally different for you. And hopefully it is not that it's something different. God has answers corresponding to your situation. And I'm grateful I heard teaching when I was young that gave me some traction. So Patsy and I could actually believe God. I really do believe that our city can become a shining example of healing. Yes. And that people take on value of how much they're loved by God. Yes. And it gets into everything in their lives. Yes. I believe God can turn a city around, don't you? I do. You say, well, I don't care about cities right now. My little tugboat is all run out of tug. I pray God's healing touch into your life right now. I pray he would calm the storm of your heart. I pray that if there's venom pumped into your marriage, that healing would come. It may be, you see people married 35 or 50 years, you know they came through dark places to get here. So if you're in a dark place right now, let's press through so we could celebrate your 34th or your 50th. Let's believe God for your kid to be restored. Come on. God bless you as you go. Have a great day. Pray blessing and strength and success on your life.